Jazz, the podcast that was working remotely to protect ourselves against the coronavirus before it was cool. I'm Chris, Jazz Sequence on the Internet. I'm here, as always, with my two awesome friends, Gary, who's Binary Gary on the Internet, and Allison, who is Allison Plus on the Internet. Fun fact, if you couldn't tell, I'm the only one that doesn't have their name in their Twitter handle. Who knew? Because my name is neither
Sequence.
My name is neither Jazz nor Sequence.
Name is Sequence.
Yeah, it's surprising. Reynolds.
That's the factoid about Binary Jazz.
That right there. That's the one fact that you, if you don't know anything about Binary Jazz, that's the thing to know. Chris's name is not actually Jazz or Sequence.
I do sometimes forget both of your last names.
My last name doesn't matter.
I feel like I should introduce you to people that way from now on. It's my friend Chris. His name is Jazz Sequence.
It's like, this is Chris Jazz Sequence.
Yeah. Was that hyphenated or? No, of course not.
No, of course not.
I mean, I think I've said this before, but I did have to introduce myself as Jazz Sequence at the one WordPress community summit that I went to many, many years ago at WordCamp San Francisco, because that was how people knew me. Like, I'd say, my name is Chris, and like, and I was like, I'm Jazz Sequence. Oh, I know you. Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
That's why I stuck the Gary in there. People said, hey, buddy. Who are you talking to? Gary's the name of
it. They never say, hey, Binary?
I've not been called Binary, no.
I mean, it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, never mind. Starting to, like, try to condense it even more. I'm like, don't do it, Alison.
I've been called vegan cheese, though, so I'm pretty happy about that. Just, I don't know if I mentioned it here before, but, Chris, you updated our schedule. I have a date in April I'm going to be out of town. I should put on there.
Yeah. Okay. Should.
I'll circle back to that. I'll put it in our outage calendar.
I did that because I was copying and pasting the episode number.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
Super smart.
That way I only have to think about the binary once. despite the MO of this show, we don't actually count in binary like natively.
No.
not when it's gotten natively. This high. No, we could do it for a little while, but like now it's just like there's no way. There's no possible way that my brain can do that math.
I am comfortable counting to 16 in binary.
And okay. Is that on your resume?
That should be on your fucking resume. I can count to 16 in binary.
It's like, it should I can be like do a what?
bullet point after I've built like WordPress and like whatever, software.
I can name pi to 14 digits. Mm-hmm. I can do binary to 20 places.
I can only name pi to like 8 digits,
built,
I think.
A space bot.
I have a friend in another Slack.
I think we should write Gary's resume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do feel like all of our resumes would benefit from everyone else writing.
I mean, like, I kind of feel I've been very self-critical the last couple weeks, and I feel like somebody else would write my resume way better than I would. So,
also, I love the idea of a life resume because I feel like it's just better, like really good at naps. finds the best sunbeam to lie in.
wait.
So what you're saying is
I am a cat.
Yeah, like a cat.
Yeah. I have a friend in another Slack who was working on a Slack bot, and they were like, "Oh, you might want to leave this channel. It's going to get noisy." And And I said, oh, buddy, let me tell you about noisy channels and writing Slack bots. I'm here for it. And I am totally here to support you. And I wish we had some logs of when Ground Control Bot was being created at the night after night after night after night. Stupid messages when things weren't working. Oh, it was so good. Yes, thank you for your patience in that. And I'm glad that I will be able to pay it forward, someone else writing a bot.
I have a specific Twitter account for testing bots so I don't annoy my normal friends.
can I follow that,
that's,
it?
That's definitely...
I haven't actually I haven't done anything with Twitter bots in forever because their API changed and I just kind of...
Oh, right. I remember that.
I don't know. I'm sure it's still doable, but I just wasn't up for the like mental overhead of figuring it out.
No, that makes sense. When Twitter pivoted to the political mud wrestling, they had to kill the bot API. It makes sense.
I'm also finding it was difficult because like they were really up in arms about like you needing a phone number attached to each account, but I don't want to do that. And you can only have the same one, like different phone numbers, and I can't get different, like that's not a thing that, and then like you can get like Google numbers, but that's not the same thing. And you still can't get, I don't know, it's turned into a whole thing. I'm like, I was just like, how much do I want this bot that generates like a rock star Patronus? I was like, had to like put it on the back shelf.
How's that? There is a, I have totally forgotten, but there is some sort of like web-based, not really drag and drop, but like you could build a bot like logic through like a web application. And I was wondering if that, like a Twitter bot specifically, it's the thing that generates, patron saint of the day or whatever.
Is it Tracery?
Maybe. I was wondering if that still worked. Because I assume that if they're still doing it, then they would still work.
Yeah, you'd think so. I should just do it like that.
Hey, because that was like, oh, I could do it that way. Well, then that makes everything a lot easier. Yeah. Because like I'm pretty sure you can like build in like responses to certain things too.
Yeah, which is what BowieBot lacks, which I always wanted to add on, but I'm almost like, it's like BowieBot is like a Jenga where I'm like, just let's all leave it be for
now. Yeah, yeah.
I can relate to that. I added the feature to Ground Control Bot like 6 months ago where it tells you how many people are currently in space or the temperature on Mars. But I looked at the code and I wanted to refactor like how the messages are sent to Slack teams and decided that like, if I pull this piece out, I may never send another message to Slack again. So I'm going to leave it.
And I think that's the nature of bots. I think that's why they're like very much in the moment. Like, I don't think there's a lot of like reiteration, in my opinion.
I also feel like there's a part when you're really diving deep into a thing like that. Like it's creative, but then there's also like the strict confines of code. Like you get in there and there's this magic that happens in your brain. And it's like, it's your world. Like you can engage and disengage, but for a while it's your world. And so then when you come back to it, you're like, it's
someone else's world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if no one else has touched the code, but you look at it, it's like your bedroom when you grow up and you leave and you come back to your childhood bedroom, you go, yeah, this used to be me, but not anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's kind of how I feel looking at the code base. I'm like, and maybe, I don't know, maybe there'll be a point where I am able to re-engage and get in and get this silly over-engineered queuing system in place.
Or maybe it'll just be another type of bot.
That's me when I'm looking at old like plugins and stuff that I've written, and it's like done like the WDS way or the way that I wrote things before WDS, or like, and I know that like in 10 years, if I look at stuff that I've written now, that I'll, they'll be like, oh, that's what I was writing when I was at Human Made, you know,
Yeah.
When I look
or at that's what the Human Made standards were in 2010 or 2015. Well, not 2010. I was not Human Made in 2010.
Somewhere I have the CSS file from my old live journal. And when I was looking at the CSS, and you can tell I have no idea what I'm writing. And it's amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, really hilarious customization. So I'm like, oh yeah, these things are important. Like custom bullet points.
Custom bullet points, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. There's a certain value in that kind of unnecessary work, right? Like, it exercises muscles and helps you understand things in different ways. Like, yeah, it's probably something I'll never do ever again in my life. But like, the experience, I think, changes the way the brain works.
Mm-hmm. I used to make custom cursors for websites.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, I actually had a project where they requested a squirrel as their custom cursor. Because their product that they were selling was like a bird feeder that could not be defeated by squirrels or something. Like, it was a stake in the ground that had a little hook for your bird feeder to go on, and the squirrel couldn't climb up it, although I'm sure the fucking squirrel could climb up it. But,
well, they can now. This was years ago.
They've evolved. Yeah, they've learned.
They couldn't Google how to climb, like, curved bird feeders. It really is the internet.
And so they wanted, and they had this, like, squirrel motif that they used throughout the site, and they wanted their cursor to be a squirrel. And I'm like,
let's pause for a minute and appreciate the phrase squirrel motif. I want that to be the name of a bluegrass band.
Squirrel motif.
Yes. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'd like to mention, to show you and introduce to you Gary and his squirrel motif.
It's sound a little Texas in twang there.
Yeah, well.
Not very,
but like, it's a traveling.
I have a limited number of twangs. Yeah. I have a limited number of twangs, and I don't know where any of them come from.
I'm a little curious to see if I develop a drawl when I move to North Carolina.
I think you will.
You do?
I hope so.
I hope so too.
I'm betting on it.
Yeah.
Although I don't know. I mean, not that it. There's not a heavy action in Utah, but there's certainly places where, like, especially in the rural areas where there's a bit of a thing in Utah, but it's mostly just, you know, and that's honestly, like, a lot of call centers are based in Utah because our accent is so just generic American accent. But the one thing that that I have picked up since moving to Utah like 18 years ago, 19, is saying y'all. But I mean, like, and it used to feel really uncomfortable. But like, with inclusivity and like not wanting to say guys and like everything else, like, y'all just kind of sounds a little bit better.
Works.
Yeah. If you can say it without forcing it, then even better.
Just embrace your Dolly Parton self.
Y'all. It's hard to say y'all without some kind of an accent.
Yeah.
Y'all.
When I moved up to Jacksonville from down near the Tampa area, like, I moved further into the South.
Down near the Tampa area?
In the past, yes. And I initially was surprised at the Southern Georgia, Northern Florida accent. Now I don't know. I don't hear it anymore. Maybe I've been cured, or maybe everyone dropped their accent. I don't know.
Whatever. Everyone dropped it.
I'm sure.
It's like, oh, wait, why?
I just pictured like a group meeting of everyone being like, you know what? Let's just forget about it.
Yeah, it's not really, no one's really picking it up as like a North Florida thing. I think we just move on, you know? Yeah. Like, let's do the diesel truck thing where we spew fuel under, you know, diesel into the air. And,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And become like a punchline on The Good Place. Yeah, that works for me. Okay, good. That works. Off we go. I love Jason Mendoza.
Have you watched the final season, Gary?
I have watched the final season, yes. I really enjoyed...
You have not?
I have not.
All right. So
I really enjoyed a YouTube video I saw the other day of Tori Bruno of ULA giving a tour to... what's the name of the podcast? I can't remember the name of the podcast. It's not Smarter Every Day. Maybe it is Smarter Every Day. Whatever the podcast. I think it is Smarter Every Day. But he went through the production of Rockets in their facility in Alabama, and it was amazing. It was like an hour long, and I spent the entire hour totally engaged and like I wanted to reach the screen and ask questions. That dude is really fantastic with bringing engineering to the public. He is a hidden gem in the space industry. Sorry, Bruno, shout out. All right, so.
This is a show where we typically talk about a topic that Allison
Space brings, makes its way into.
That Gary and I know nothing about in advance, and then we try to describe or talk about what we think the topic that Allison has brung to us is.
There's
I don't know, like that sentence ended up in some place where, like, I got to the end of the sentence and I forgot where I started. I feel like Joe Biden must do every day.
That would require some awareness. I, before the topic, I have to say, here's a Southern phrase I used the other day at work, and people were like, what in the hell are you talking about? And we were talking about, like, some weird interaction with the client. I said, you know what they say, dance with the one what brung you. And they went,
what?
What? I said, dance with the one what brung you. Like, what? Dance with the one that brought you? Like, what?
Yeah.
Never mind. I did not realize that wasn't, like, a common phrase. I thought that...
Listen to like, it. Of course
it's... Dance with the one what brung you. Yeah, that...
Well,
that
in high... Yes, someone called exposed to me, like, that's not even close to, like, proper English, let alone coherent. How would I understand that? All right, well, your point, I guess, is valid. But it, in my head, it was just a normal phrase until I said it and felt like an idiot. I quickly moved on.
You should certainly not feel like an idiot for saying something that you have heard many times before and doesn't make any sense to anybody else. I think that is fine.
Yeah.
I do think the phrase is bizarre and definitely localized, like a regional thing, but like you shouldn't be ashamed of like repeating that phrase.
Yeah. Perhaps it is. Yeah. Perhaps it is a localized phrase and I did not realize, but
yeah,
you know.
Do you have any phrases like that in your own family, though, that you know, like, your kids will repeat and then other kids will be like, what are you even talking about? Because I've just, like, my family has stuff like that probably. That I've then taken out and I'm, like, living in the 1940s, apparently. I'm like, oh, it was parked all cattywampus.
Whoa.
And then people are like, what are you talking about?
Oh, God. I mean, I probably do, but I don't think I'm aware of them. And that's kind of terrifying.
And that's, yeah.
That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of one of those things where you say it, and then later on people are like, what the hell is he talking about? Oh, don't worry about it. It's just the way he talks. It's fine. Yeah, it's he fine. Just meant that it was fouled up. It was screwy.
So, anyway. All right, I challenge the two of you to call me on any weird phrase that I may say that sounds a little off. And because I would like to know, and I will try my best to pull out the weirdest things that might be residing in my brain.
All right. That seems fair.
Wow. I can't wait.
I mean, like, nifty, but that's a thing that people say ironically.
I think that's
a
thing people say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is nifty, if cattywampus is a 40s word, is nifty a 50s word?
Sure.
I don't even know if it's an, like, if cattywampus is an older word. I feel like it must be something my grandparents said and we've just, like, grabbed onto it.
Yeah, I've heard cattywampus from folks independent of this show.
Yeah.
I mean, I have heard that word in my lifetime.
But not, like, out in the common lexicon.
Yeah, it's not a thing that people say, but I've definitely... I've definitely come across it at some point.
But I was like, this is the perfect descriptor for, what did I say, that parking
job? The parking job, yeah. I mean, I can visualize a cattywampus parking job is the thing. It's like somebody trying to parallel park and they're just like,
what's the job done?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting, because I also visualize it as parallel parking and not like...
I mean, that's the thing, right? That parking job is cattywampus.
Damn.
That's
actually a really good word, isn't it?
It's obvious.
There was implied meaning that we both captured from that without knowing any more. That's a
damn good word right there.
Yeah.
I like the good ones.
it saves the whole description about the bad parallel parking job. You just see that car is parked cattywampus, and then it just communicates everything. Even if people think, wow, that word is weird.
They still get the point. Yeah, that's true. Today's topic, this week's topic, is not cattywampus.
Darn.
Should be.
It is the Fleming response.
Fleming.
The Fleming response.
Okay, is that PH like
it's,
Fleming?
No, it's
or Fleming like a person named Joseph Fleming.
F L E H M E N.
Whoa, F L E H M E N. Fleming response.
Yeah, obviously, if it was spelled a PH, Chris, it would be related to
coronavirus,
panicking about global pandemics. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The Fleming response. Like, I sneeze.
Someone coughs, and you're like, "I'm getting the hell out of here." That's my Fleming response.
Plays into all my anxieties.
Yeah, maybe, should we have started this like on our final episode? I mean, is that where we are?
No,
thank you for joining us.
No, because we have been self-quarantining for 3 years.
For 3 years, 35 over here.
Well, I meant as a show.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am a little nervous because I have to do some flying in the next few months, and I'm not sure how that's going to pan out.
Well, don't worry. You're not one of the disallowed countries that can come into the United States.
Yeah. I'm more worried about getting stuck.
Yeah.
And I'm also kind of like, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to get sick, but I think I could be a carrier. And that worries me for my family in general.
Yeah. That's where we're at.
Settle down, dog. Things are in bloom around here, which means like allergies are kicking. So everyone has a dripping nose and is coughing and sneezing.
Well, I read today, there was a chart today of like symptoms for coronavirus, normal flu, and the cold. And runny nose is very rare in coronavirus cases. So if your nose is running, you're safe. You're just sick, dude.
You're just plain old. Well, no, and like it's winter, and so like you're going in and out, so my nose starts running, and immediately I start being like, why is my nose running?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, it's just because I went from a cold temperature to a warm temperature. Like it's not. Meanwhile, today I decided to dress like it's summer, so I'm wearing shorts. Because I was like, nice. I'm not going anywhere.
Like there's a coronavirus out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been planning this my whole life. Also, I feel like it's very disheartening to find out how many people haven't been washing their hands.
like this is a surprising thing.
I just like to think the best of people.
Wait, people don't wash their hands?
No.
You obviously have not lived in this house. I watch my kids come in like from doing who the hell knows what, and then they're like, oh, I'm going to go have a Z-bar.
Kids are the worst. Kids are just like little germy clouds. They're like pig pen.
Did you wash your hands? No. When was the last time you washed your hands?
Thursday. I've you know, you're supposed to sing the alphabet twice.
I saw somebody.
I'm in a public bathroom and bust out of the sink. A, B, C, D, E, at the top of my lungs.
So opportunity. Yeah, or happy birthday twice. But somebody tweeted a while ago a list of alternate songs that have 20 second choruses.
I'm serious about this.
So, and so they're like as alternatives to singing, happy birthday twice or the alphabet or whatever. So I've been singing ever since then, Prince's Raspberry Beret when I wash my hands.
That's an amazing choice.
It works because I have the song in my head. I have the beat so I can like, I'm not like skipping through it. Like, it's not just like, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Blah, 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 happy birthday.
I may have shared at some point when Katie was learning to sing the alphabet, she would sing like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then W, X, Y, and Z, and then would follow it with, like, she would skip all the letters, and then she would follow it with, I don't know my ABCs. And it was the most adorable thing in the world. And
that was almost a spit take on our podcast. It was the first spit take of Binary Jazz. Fleming response. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, I suspect it has something to do with when you are flying. And when you land and you still feel like you're on a plane, you know, like you just kind of feel like it, you know, bouncing in your butt. I feel it in my butt. I don't know where you feel it.
Would that be related to, as the sailors say, not having your land legs?
Yeah, why not?
Not having your legs.
Because it's the same experience. You're like in a moving vehicle and your body adjusts to the movement and then you stop moving and you're like, whoa.
He's gone. Our conversation isn't here.
Unable to respond to my question.
Did you say I'm cold?
No, coffee's cold.
Coffee is cold.
Oh.
Well, like lukewarm.
You need one of those desk warmer things like I have.
I had I have an enterprise account I'm working on right now that requires VPN access, which of course requires logging into a thing with dual factor authentication and all sorts of other stuff. And I call in and say, hey, I'm a contractor. I'm working on blah, blah, blah. And they say, cool. Let us remote into your company computer. I'm like, I'm a contractor. I don't have a company computer. And they're like, oh, all right. Let me walk you through this. And so yesterday it was like, 4 hours on the phone, ticket to ticket.
Oh.
Today it's been another hour so far. It's not ideal is what I'm saying. Not ideal.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing idealness at all.
Yeah.
It's all right. It is. It's the, you know, it's the nature of enterprise.
I had a project that was a little bit like that too, but it didn't require a VPN. So at least not for what we were doing. They did have a VPN, but we didn't need the VPN into it. Fleming response. I felt like I had an idea and then I lost it because of the various other things.
It's my fault. It's fine.
A Fleming response is when you immediately have what we would call your knee-jerk reaction is actually a Fleming response. Mm-hmm. So like the first thought you have when confronted with a new piece of information. Even if you're like, you haven't had time to fully like digest or think about it, just like your immediate, like Fleming response. Named after, as I said, what was it? Joseph Fleming.
Joseph Fleming.
Yeah, actually not Joseph. It's Josef Fleming.
Oh, sorry.
I mispronounced it the first time. Joseph Fleming. Josef, from Austria, who developed or discovered the response when he himself had a Fleming response in a conversation, and then did a study on these responses in other people. So
peer reviewed by his identical twin sister.
it was all the rage in like the 1880s. Mm-hmm.
Have you read the Fleming document? It turned my head all cattywampus.
Indeed.
I can't get my head out of the association with the word Fleming. So,
go with it. Just go with that.
No, I mean, I think I already went with it. I think it's.
I mean, it might help that I have it like on the screen next to me and it's spelled correctly and it's not spelled PH. Like if I had it in my head as still being PH,
you
even
can also say
it starts with F.
It's the Fleming reaction, but you can also use it as a verb. So Fleming or Fleming. I like Fleming.
Fleming.
Yeah.
Fleming. Is this, you know what this is? This is, I know what this is. This is like when you make lemonade and you're Fleming to mix it all together.
Describe that action again. Just kind of.
Wooden spoon, you know.
With the spoon.
Lemon, the sugar, the water, ice.
When life gives you lemons.
Fleming it.
On my wall. I want that hand stitched.
You might want to find out what Fleming means first.
Oh, perhaps I should. Are we there? Is it time?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, we did get the warning.
Oh, yeah.
And we do have a basically spam email.
Yeah, I don't think we have any Allison questions.
Yeah.
I'm very, the well is dry. But anyway, the Flemen response, it's actually from the German Flemen, which means to bare the upper teeth. But it's
the upper teeth.
Yeah, but it's a behavior when an animal curls back their upper lip and expose their front teeth and inhale. And it's to basically smell better.
Where?
Yeah.
Oh, smell better. Not like... to make them able to smell things better, not to make their scent more pleasant.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, wait a second. I was right up. I was with you right up until smell better.
And it's usually like, it's cats a lot of the time. They'll just open their mouth basically and do that.
Yeah. I've seen Max do that.
So they're flemming.
Huh.
Hmm. Yeah.
Is there a human analog?
I mean, I'm trying to do it, and I'm not smelling anything better.
Yeah, I don't think so, because I don't think we have the same gland that basically facilitates those pheromones and scents being transferred.
Yeah.
Also, it probably has to do with the proximity of our nose to our lip.
Oh, maybe.
I would think. Because our nose is protruderant, which is a new word, protruderant. So therefore curling back our lip wouldn't make any difference other than if we perhaps wanted to smell our top teeth.
We're all like trying out different facial like
okay, so the moral of this story is if you're listening to this podcast, you absolutely need to go to the YouTube channel and watch this show, because there's a lot of stuff going on that you're going to miss on if you're just getting the audio.
But fast forward to this spot. Unless, wait.
Well, I mean, we would want to get the Flemming visual when you're like the mixed lemonade. Yeah.
Right. I don't know what I was using to mix it in. Perhaps like a Home Depot bucket. A big orange bucket.
What are the ones that says, let's do this?
Yes. Yeah.
We got a Home Depot let's do this bucket because we had gotten we were going camping somewhere and we were going camping somewhere that didn't have bathrooms, and so we were getting ourselves like a toilet thing that you could do out in places, and the original idea was that you put this sort of toilet seat thing on top of a bucket. And so Aaron thought it would be ironic if the bucket said, let's do this.
Let's do this.
As in, let's do this.
How many buckets do
we
you
never
own?
We never actually used the let's do this bucket. How many buckets do we own?
Yeah.
Well, there's a let's do this bucket.
Yeah.
I want to say like three. We're not a big bucket household here.
Yeah, I've ended up with a lot on home improvement stuff. I'm just curious what a normal amount of buckets would be, because I feel like I have an abnormal amount.
Yeah, we have the let's do this bucket, which never has gone used. We have a bucket that has currently a bunch of like rock hounding type tools, because we took it when we went rock hounding, and so that we just stuffed all of our stuff and we got a whole bunch of stuff for it, so we just put it all in there. And then we have one other bucket that I think we have used it in the past for like gardening stuff, like putting like weeds and stuff in, but we actually have these like wheelie cart things that we use for that instead. So that one also kind of goes unused generally, but I think we have a total of three
buckets. I definitely have more than three. I probably have a dozen and a half, I think.
Wow. Jesus.
Yeah. Is a dozen and a half 1.5 dozen, or is it 12.5?
Well, what?
I love that question. That's good. No, I think if I had a half a bucket, I'd chuck it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's about 18. That might be high. I don't think that's really that high. The bedroom, I had like 3 or 4 buckets of drywall.
But you have a garage. That's
I suspect a spot for bucket storage. That's
I would hypothesize that Allison doesn't have any buckets.
She has to have one.
She doesn't.
Of like a Home Depot bucket?
No, just yeah, like, a, well, like a. I'll use very a very broad brush. But what kind of bucket do you own?
I don't own a bucket, Gary.
She does not
kind of like a tiny tub for like cleaning.
Yeah. Do you live in an apartment, like a condo or something? Like you don't have a garage.
Yeah, we have like
a
one bedroom apartment. It's like a house that's broken down into apartments. We don't have a garage. We don't.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't have a garage, like a garage or some sort of storage area. Like we don't have a garage either, but we have a storage shed. And so if we didn't have a storage, we also have a basement. If we didn't have those things, there would be no reason to have a bucket. Like where would the bucket go? Like the bucket is just taking up space.
I definitely had a bucket in our apartment when we were first married. We had a bucket. And at that point I used it for holding tools. It's just like a nice tool catch-all. The handles are pointing up and you can see what you're grabbing pretty quickly. I also had a toolbox, but I had a tool bucket for the bigger tools.
I feel like I need to take you on an apartment tour.
I don't think we've ever had a toolbox.
My apartment is.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had a toolbox. We've had tool drawers.
I have one of those big, ugly red rolling ones that I bought on clearance from Home Depot or Lowe's. I don't know which. But when I bought it, I saw a pickup truck then, threw it in the back of the pickup truck, brought it home, and went to open it and realized the drawers and the top were locked and the keys weren't included with it. Being on clearance, I'm like, oh.
Nice.
Well,
I went back to the store and I'm like, hey, I just bought this. And I understand there's no return because it was on clearance, but I literally can't use it because I can't open it. And they were like, oh, well, maybe they're hanging around here somewhere. And so they dug like into this cash drawer and they're like, here's a couple keys in a bag. Maybe these are them. And I took it home and lo and behold, they were the keys for it. And
nice.
It was two different keys, one for the top and one for the bottom. I'm baffled that it was that easy. I thought I was going to like drill out the locks. I don't know what I thought I was going to do.
I'm sure if you had gotten a lock picking kit, like I'm sure that those locks are not that difficult to pick.
No, and I'm pretty sure that the assembly actually has like a big nut on the outside to like hold the housing in place. So I probably could have just unscrewed it that way and jiggled it until it fell apart and opened anyway. I mean, the idea is it's more like if I slow someone down, that'll keep them from like casually walking by and stealing tools, which like I don't need that in my garage. No one's casually walking through my garage stealing tools. I need it to always be open so that when I'm done, I can like lob the tool across the garage and land it in the open drawer. You know, maybe
so
I'll
today
that drawer
today's Binary Jazz question was how many buckets do you own?
How many buckets do you
own? Which I feel is a pretty.
Do you want to tour my bucket? I'm just kidding.
No, I really don't need to.
Like half of them are just white buckets with the.
I feel like a tour of my apartment would just be me tilting my camera. And then you'd see Robin.
Yeah, right.
The whole facade would be ruined.
Yeah, yeah, no, like, and really, you only need to tilt your camera like 5 inches to see Robin, because really, he's just right over there. He's just like sitting on the couch like, hi guys, I'm here for the show. I'm participating.
No, he leaves. He goes into the bedroom or puts his headphones on because he doesn't want to be spoiled.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
Does he wait? I guess he must wait until the actual show is released. So he waits an entire week. Mm-hmm. Wow. So that's hardcore. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Or wait, does he actually have access to the server? We just don't know it. Like, Chris will upload it later. He'll be like, yeah, I got it.
He's like, I think he likes it, but I don't think he's that into it.
Yeah, I get it. Same.
Shout out to
Rob. I like hanging out. The recording part's secondary.
Hey, that's an important part of the job, dude.
It's a huge component.
I mean, I guess this part makes it a podcast. Otherwise, it would literally just be a hangout for an hour.
A weird
exactly.
Of hangout.
And the bumpers and like the extensive editing that I do. Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.